closed ears and closed eyes. And so let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. Free to us, but you paid an incredible price for our souls. And so this morning, may we have open Bibles, open eyes, ears, hearts, to receive in good soil your precious word, which is like seed. And may it take root within good soil in our hearts this morning, and that we would bear much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. It's so important, Lord, that we abide in you and you in us so that we can bear much fruit. And so this morning, Lord, you be the teacher through your word. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight through this wonderful epistle called the Epistle to the Romans. And Lord, give us ears and eyes to see and hearts to receive your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. A little bit of an introduction, and as it says here in the title, God's free gift. And oftentimes we don't really truly comprehend what that means. And here in the book of Romans, Paul has used some incredible verbiage, if you would. We've seen some incredible words come to us and the church at Rome through the book of Romans, to say the least. Four words I'm just going to touch on quickly before we get into God's word. Number one, Paul talked a lot about salvation. In this epistle, he talks a lot about sanctification. He also talks a lot about justification. In the end result for us who believe, glorification. And so salvation is deliverance from all sin and all evil. And sometimes I'm even guilty of using that word and not really grasping what it truly means for me and what it truly means for you who believe in Jesus Christ. We are saved. We are delivered from sin and death. We have a lot to rejoice in, a lot to be thankful for. And we can enjoy a right relationship with Holy God and to enjoy the blessings of God because of what His Son did for us. Salvation. Being saved. The second term Paul uses through Scripture in Romans, sanctification. It means to be set apart unto God. And just think about that for a moment. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are set apart for God. You belong to Him forever and ever and ever and ever, eternally. As children of God, a miracle, set apart. We're set apart from the world, and we're now consecrated, set apart unto God, to be declared belonging to God and being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And again, that's another word we kind of take lightly, sanctification. The third word I love, and we're going to see that here this morning as well, justification. And I often break that word down into three syllables. Just if I'd never sinned. And that's the way God looks at you now, through the blood of His Son. No, we're not perfect. Yes, we still sin. We will until we take our last breath here on earth. But He's given us the blood of His Son to cleanse us and wash us from all sin. And so we are justified. We're vindicated. When through the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are declared innocent. It's like standing before the holy judge, and Jesus Christ is our defense attorney. And the judge says, not guilty. We are not guilty because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And again, I know you're probably like I am. There's times the enemy puts these thoughts in my mind. Oh, yeah, sure. Look what you just did again. You know? And yes, we do sin. We're not perfect yet, but we will be one day, like Clyde and like Linda are right now in their new glorified bodies. But we are declared innocent. We're absolved from every single sin. And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, in the deepest part of the sea, and God remembers our sin no more. These terms should be very freeing for you and I, because it's a spiritual battle. I don't know about you, but my biggest battle on this earth is between my two ears, my mind. And the enemy throws these replays at me all the time. You remember this, you remember that. And as I said many times, when he reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future. We're released from the penalty of sin. Do you know that? Do you really believe that? Do you really grasp what that means? That you are released from the penalty of sin. Completely. Absolved. 100%. And we are now restored to God's righteousness. We have a right standing with God. And the results one day, I love this word, glorification. What's that going to be like? I can't even imagine. God's word gives us a little bit of a glimpse of heaven, but we really truly can't comprehend what heaven's going to be like. Never ever again, one more bad thought, nor a bad word, nor a bad intent, nor sin. Ever again. What's that going to be like? A brand new body. No doctors, no nurses, no hospitals in heaven. And I've mentioned recently a few times, try to really grasp what eternal life means. Forever and ever and ever and ever. We think it's a miracle when someone lives 100 years here on this earth. But boy, it sure flies by. I've never been this old before. And it's every day, you know, you wake up to something new, don't you? Those of you that, like myself, are senior citizens. I was telling somebody yesterday, when I was a kid, my cereal went snap, crackle, pop. Now my body does when I get up. But glorification, the transformation of our bodies into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're going to be gods. No, it means we're going to be righteous like him. Forever and ever, we will be in the likeness of the Lord. And we will enter into the kingdom of heaven forever and ever and ever. So we got four words that we're going to look at here this morning through this text, chapter 5 of the book of Romans. And you know what? All four of these words, as we've seen, as Paul has written this letter to the church at Rome, a church he never visited before, but he wanted to challenge them in their sin. He wanted to encourage them in their faith. And all of these things that I just mentioned, salvation, sanctification, justification, glorification, all of these things take place by faith. Period. Not works. Not feeling. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And so here in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace, this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit and was given to us. We could spend the whole rest of the morning on these five verses. They are so rich and so deep. And my prayer this week is, Lord, just help me to do justice with your precious word, with all these incredible things that we're going to see in this incredible chapter. And so here, the first word we see is therefore. And many times you heard me say, when you see therefore, ask, what is therefore? And it points back to that which was previously written, or that which was previously said. And what we saw last week had to do with faith. And we saw Abraham, who is known as the father of faith. I love that. There's a man who is known as the father of faith, but at times he had lapses in faith. Thank you, Lord. And that's what I love about the Old Testament. We see real people like you and I. These aren't flannel board characters. These are real people that lived on this planet. And Abraham, the father of faith, encourages us in our faith today. We saw that Abraham believed God by faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And the same holds true with you and I. We believe by faith, not by works, not by feeling. And it's accounted to us as righteousness. And another major character in Scripture that we find in the Old Testament was Israel's greatest king, King David. And he wasn't perfect either. But the Bible tells us by faith, righteousness was imparted to David, who was a murderer, an adulterer, a liar. But yet, when you read Psalm 51, Psalm 51 is a prayer of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I don't think a day goes by when I don't pray that prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's a wonderful prayer in that wonderful psalm, Psalm 51. And so we see here, as for us, as well today, that all of these things are imparted to us who believe. As we saw back in verse 24 of chapter 4. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses, and was raised because of our justification. Praise the Lord. Justified, never sinned. Who believe in him, it says here, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Paul will tell us again in chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Justified. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. That's what we saw last week. And it's hard, again, to comprehend Jesus Christ bearing all of the sins of the whole world of every generation upon himself upon the cross on Calvary. Again, I can't, in my puny little mind, I just can't even grasp what our precious Savior went through for you and me so that we would be justified. And so now, Paul continues here in verses 1 to 5 with, again, some incredible promises that are results of our faith. And in verse 1, he tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God, imagine. And again, sometimes because we do walk by feeling, we don't always feel the peace of God. Sometimes we even feel like we're coming to pieces. But that's when we step back and we pray. And we put everything that we're going through in God's hands. And he gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because in all reality, there's nothing we can do about it anyway. He's in full control of every situation. But isn't it wonderful that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ? Peace with God means that we have been reconciled. We have been made one with God. Why? Because the Bible very clearly says that we were at enmity with God. We were far from God before we came to know Jesus Christ, his Son. And now we've been reconciled with God through what Jesus Christ has done for us. We who, because of our sins, were at enmity with God. And that's hard to imagine, isn't it? And now we're at peace with God by his grace through faith. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. That's what that word means. G-R-A-C-E, God's righteousness at Christ's expense, paid in full. And I want you to realize and grasp that as well. There's no balance due. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, complete, done. Es todo, no más. But yet there's people, false teachers out there that say you have to go to purgatory. I don't think so, my friend. You need to read the Bible. That's why we have to be very, very careful in these last days, because the Bible very clearly says there will be false teachers, false prophets in the last days that will try to get people off track. Isn't it amazing? There was just a movie out, some of you saw it, about Calvary Chapel and how it started. And guess what? Satan's got one coming out as well. Yeah. It's called Come Out in Jesus' Name. It's at the river. And it speaks of pastors casting demons out of Christians. My friend, you're not a timeshare. When you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you are sealed for the day of redemption by the person of the Holy Spirit. And he that's in you is greater than he that is in this world. But look what happens. Wouldn't you know, right after a good solid movie on what happens when the Word of God is taught to the hippies, all of a sudden, Satan shows up with his counterfeit. That's why you need to read God's Word every day. It's wonderful to go to church and get fed and have fellowship with one another, but we need to feed our souls every day through God's precious Word. We also have access into an indescribable position of favor with God. We are now near and dear to God. We are in Him. We rejoice in hope, the hope of the glory of God, as one day we will be in glory. And again, it's hard to comprehend that as well. Look at how dark the world is getting. I look back over the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. I've been a believer over 40. And I have seen more darkness coming upon our nation and on our world in the last few years than I've seen the whole time I've been a believer. It's insane. I mean, ministry has really become a challenge anymore. I would appreciate your prayers, and so would Pastor Ryan. And let's pray for all the pastors in the valley and in the nation and in this world that preach God's word, because it is a spiritual battle like I've never experienced before. And so here, in the meantime, while we are still here on earth, verse 3, we can even glory in our tribulations. And not only that, it says, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. How many of you glory in your trials? I'll bet you even pray for trials. Oh, give me more, Lord. We don't like them. I don't like them. But it sure is awesome to know that when you're going through a trial, a test, a trouble, or a tribulation, that the Lord is going with you every step of the way. Thank you, Lord. And we wonder why people are flipping out. They have no hope. They try to numb the pain all different ways. And thanks be to God that we can glory in our tribulations. And I'm sure many, I probably get a testimony out of every Christian in this room that there's a trial that you went through that when you finally got through it, you rejoiced at what God did in your life through that trial. That's why He allows us to go through tests and trials and troubles and tribulations. We go through spiritual tribulations and trials, just like those that wear the t-shirts that go to the gym. No pain, no gain. Same thing holds true with us at times as Christians. We're going to go through painful times. We really are. Nothing like Jesus went through for you and I. You know the shortest verse in all the New Testament, 2 words? Jesus wept. He went through extreme pain and grief and sorrow for you and for me. And so it's so important for us to rejoice in our trials, to give thanks. We know that God is in control of all of these things. And that's how we grow. Those of you that are into gardening, what do? You know, at certain times of the year, you go and prune back your roses or plants, whatever it might be. Pruning hurts. But what happens? It brings forth more growth. And there's times as Christians we have to go through a period of pruning. And it doesn't feel good. Bad enough wrinkling up like a prune than having to get pruned. But these things build character in us. This is how character is built in you and I. And I'm sure many of us at times have had people when we're going through difficult things go, wow, how come you have peace? How come you're not flipping out? Look what you're going through. Open door, isn't it? Because I have the peace of the Lord. Because God is seeing me through every step of this test and trial and trouble and tribulation. And God is going to develop character in my life. Yeah, there are certain things that we can't grow in or develop without trials, without being tested. And it says it builds character and builds perseverance. That means endurance. And it's so important to realize and recognize that whatever we're going through, it's so that we can endure and press on all the way to the end. We're not home yet. And it strengthens our trust in God. And there are certain things in this life that we really, really can't grasp, God's presence and God's love and grace and mercy. And one of the only ways that we can experience that is through trials. That's when we see God's hand. Thank you, Lord. You know, recently we've had people in this fellowship. One lady now is clean from cancer. A couple of weeks ago when she told me that, I teared up. It was just incredible. And a lot of you have been through life-changing experiences. And it's so important to realize and to recognize that once you go through these trials, your life is never the same. It strengthens our trust in God. What would your life be like if you didn't have any trials? What would your life be like if you didn't have to totally trust and call out to the Lord in many, many, many different situations? It's so important, and it builds character, strengthens our trust, and it also fills us with hope. Hope. That's another word we take for granted. We live in a world that is hopeless. You know that, don't you? Look around. There are hopeless people all over the place. No hope, so I'll turn to dope. That's what we used to say in the 60s. Yeah. No hope, where's the dope? I didn't realize that I was a dope. We have the confidence that he who loved us has begun a good work in us and will be faithful to complete it. Philippians 1:6. He began it. He's allowed it. Everything that happens to you as his child has to pass through nail-scarred hands. And he's going to see you through, and he's going to develop character. And that work he begun, he's going to complete it. And maybe you're here this morning going through a very, very, very difficult time in your life. God is going to see you through to the other side. Guaranteed. Why? Because I have the guarantee right here. A lot of the guarantees and warranties I have in a drawer at home are in fine print. This is bold print. This is a guarantee. This never changes. God says what he means and means what he says, and he's going to see us all the way home. And notice verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, hey, hallelujah, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amazing, isn't it? Hope does not disappoint. And don't you love this verse, how the Holy Spirit has been poured out in our hearts? Sometimes, personally, and maybe you do as well, we don't really truly grasp the Holy Spirit being poured out in our hearts is because there's times when we grieve and even quench the Holy Spirit in our lives through our sin and through our unbelief. But you know what? Keep your life pure, which Paul preached on before the rapture of the church. Be ready for Jesus Christ to come today. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and guess what? God will pour out the Holy Spirit upon your heart like never before. There's times I've had to pull over on the freeway because I was afraid I would get a DUI driving under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Gotcha. Uh-huh. No, but there's those times, when God will just pour out his love in my heart and I'll tear up and I'll have to pull over. Just start contemplating and thinking about the hope that I have and all the blessings that I have because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. If we were to hope for something that would never come to pass, we'd be disappointed, we'd be bummed. And it says here, hope does not disappoint. Hope gives us hope. The hope which we have from God. And guess what? God's record's pretty good, isn't it? 100%. God can never break a promise, and God can never, ever lie. And all he asks us to do is to believe. He will never, ever disappoint us with his promises. Never. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's another miracle. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, the third part of the triune God, the Trinity. We are filled with his Spirit. We are sealed for the day of redemption. And no one can break that seal. We are sealed for the day of redemption. The person of the Holy Spirit is given to us, at the moment we believe by faith. By faith, not works. He floods our hearts with God's love. I don't know about you, but I never ever experienced love like I have since I received agape love from the person of the Holy Spirit. It's unconditional love. It's a love that the world cannot comprehend. It's a love that's given to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And it's not a nice warm fuzzy. It's just a love that floods our hearts. He brings to life His word, His promises. He leads us, the Holy Spirit does, and guides us in all truth. How much is all? That's why we need to spend time in God's word, because we need to be led and guided in all truth, because the world is filled with lies, half-truths, and fake news out there. I'm about ready to just get my gun out and blow the screen right out of my television set. It seems every day the commercials, which I can't even mention from God's pulpit, are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And we're being bombarded by it and flooded. You can't watch Leave It to Beaver without some filth coming on. Or the Andy Griffith Show. Some of you young people have to Google those, but they are on TV. But man, it's just, whatever happened to the censors? Didn't they say they were going to have TV censors to censor this garbage? And it's like, man, I'll move on. God's going to see us all the way home to heaven. You know that, don't you? With the four words that I shared at the beginning of this message, we are going all the way to glory, my friend. And so here we see this morning all three members of the Trinity. Yeah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father who loved us so much that He sent us His Son, Jesus Christ. His Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world. The Holy Spirit, who's been poured out in our hearts and empowers us to live godly lives. Right there. In the first five verses, we have the Trinity. But yet, there are people in God's pulpit today that say no such thing as Trinity. And again, read your Bible, dude. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1. Elohim, in Hebrew, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right in the first verse of the Bible. How did they get around that stuff? And here we see it, the Apostle Paul, former Pharisee, former Christian killer, if you would, writing about the Trinity and about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, about justification by faith. And so here we see in verses 6 to 11 as Paul continues. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified, there's that word again, by His blood, justified, never sinned, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's another promise that we just kind of brush over at times. We are saved from the wrath of God. We are saved from eternal damnation. We are saved from the lake of fire, hell, with the devil and his angels. And again, how often we just read through and, oh, saved from the wrath of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. But oftentimes we need to stop and ponder some of these incredible words that God speaks to us through His word in the Holy Scriptures. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I love verse 11. I know I say that about every verse in the Bible. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Man. He says we were without strength. We were weak, helpless, hopeless, unable to do anything to save ourselves from destruction. But how often we hear people say, well, I'm a good person. Again, I know that person's never read the Bible, because the Bible says there's no good, not one. I like to laugh. I have a friend named Juan. I said, there's none good, not one. And he laughs. But that's true with every race, creed, color on this planet. None good. 100% guilty, everybody. You know what they do is they just look for someone worse than they are and think, I'm a good person. Well, I couldn't find anybody worse than I was in my BC days. But at the perfect time, according to God's divine timetable, Jesus came to die for the ungodly. That's all of us. Look at verse 7 again. All of us. For he who has died has been freed. I'm sorry, wrong chapter. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But again, there's none good. But God demonstrates his love for us, towards us. Not because we're good, but while we were still sinners. Jesus died for you and he died for me. The act of divine love is unparalleled by anything we can even imagine. That he would willingly and lovingly send his only begotten son into the sinful fallen world, and that Jesus Christ would be brutally beaten and murdered and marred more than any man and nailed to a cross for you and for me. It's hard to, again, even comprehend that. But again, like I said, this is a really encouraging chapter for all of us, because we can see not only the price that was paid for you and I, but also the benefits that are given to us through his atoning death on the cross. The average man's life is precious to him, and he would never think of throwing it away for an unlikely sinner. That's what he's talking about here. You know, but look what Jesus did. He laid down his life for the worst person that ever walked the planet, the best person that ever walked the planet laid his life down for. Liars, murderers, thieves, the list is endless. That Jesus Christ laid down his life for them all. Even that man would be reluctant to die for a righteous man. Possibly, in the extreme case, he may. But look what Jesus did. He died for the worst of the worst. But God's love, verse 8. Again, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Man, while we're yet sinners, Jesus died for us. You know, I often run into people that think they've gone too far. Oh, I can't go to church. I've blown it too bad. I wouldn't want the building to cave in. You ever heard that one? I say, I test it every week when I walk through the doors. It doesn't cave in. So you're certainly welcome as well. Even the absolute worst of sinners, all of us, Jesus Christ died for. And in doing so, we who believe were justified by his blood, saved from his wrath. Being enemies, we were reconciled to God. We were saved by his life. And so now we can rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we've been reconciled. We've been united together through Jesus Christ with holy God. And we can now pray, Our Father who art in heaven. The Bible very clearly says, he who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. And I'm guilty of praying the Lord's Prayer for years and years and years before he was even my Father in heaven. It was my good luck charm when I got in a jam. But then I came to find out that without Jesus Christ, just empty words. Bless you. Verse 12. Therefore, again, that's the second of three therefores. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. How much is all? Because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift, that's where the title came from. The free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Wow. I'm sure you've heard it as well. Some people say, well, why am I guilty because of what Adam and Eve did? You know what I tell them? You'd have done the same thing. Is it fair to be judged by what they did thousands of years ago? What are the sins today? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. She saw the fruit on the tree that was forbidden. God says, you partake of that fruit, you will surely die. Yeah. Lust of the eyes. Who? She just had to have it. How about the pride of life? Remember the serpent? What did he say? Oh, you shall be like God. Yeah. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Satan's the father of the lie. Today we're tempted still. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Our sins are different, but yet the wages of sin is death still. Each of us confirms our guilt as sinners every day. We too have the same sinful nature. Again, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And how sad it was. Can you imagine what it must have been like when they fell? You know the story. They recognized they were naked. And what do? They grab the itchiest leaf in the whole garden and cover themselves. You ever felt a fig leaf? Oh, man. I feel like scratching just thinking about it. And because we're sinners, it really isn't, you know, fairness we need. It's grace and mercy and forgiveness is what we need. And that's why Jesus came. Adam's sin affected the whole human race. And what did he do? Same thing a lot of husbands do today. Oh, Lord, it's the wife you gave me. Where'd you get that lump on your head? His sin affected the whole human race. And Adam was clearly warned by God, you will surely die. And Satan said, you won't die. So you tell me who was right. And how sad it is. The first murder occurred in Adam's family. Cain took a rock and he killed his brother with a stone. Abel. I was thinking about that the other day. They want to ban our guns. We need to ban rocks too. You can kill someone with a rock just as easy as you can a gun. If you got murder in your heart, you're going to use everything and anything to kill somebody. Next thing you know, they want to ban our kitchen knives. Death did not take a break because there was no law, okay? But death still reigned. Cain slew Abel. The law was given to show man's sinfulness and drive them to God. That's why the law was given to Moses. We now have a contrast in verse 15. Through Adam's sin, many died, and through God's Son, grace abounded to many. God's free gift, grace. God's free gift, Jesus Christ. Verse 16 again. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace, grace is getting what you don't deserve again, and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And so again, we have another contrast, don't we? Adam's sin, which brought condemnation, Jesus' sin, or excuse me, I blew that one. Jesus' free gift, justification. Pray for me. I think my brain gets raptured before my body, so. Jesus' righteousness brought justification. By one man's offense, death reigned, and it still reigns today. By Christ's free gift, life through the one, Jesus Christ, eternal life. And folks, again, hold on to that. We have eternal life. We are going to heaven. And we're closer than ever before in the history of mankind. And a lot of that, I can teach a lesson just right out of the book of Revelation at what's going on in Israel right now. And folks, we are closer than ever. Closer than ever. What grace this is. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We're delivered from death. We're given a free gift of forgiveness, life, and eternity. Do we live according to the Adamic nature of Adam, or do we live according to the new nature of Jesus Christ? That's a challenge for all of us today. Don't let the old nature rule and reign. We are to deny ourselves daily, not monthly, not weekly, not just on Sunday. Deny ourselves daily, pick up our cross, which is death to the old sinful flesh, and follow him. We now come to our third and last therefore. Almost there. Verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteousness act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. It doesn't say all. It says many. And there are some people today that teach that everybody's saved, everybody's going to heaven. No. God has given you a free will and a free won't. You will either receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or you won't. It's your call. It's your choice. And God has made it very, 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 very simple for us to know how to get to heaven. There's a guy that gets a bum rap in John chapter 14. Talked about him before. His name is Doubting Thomas. I don't call him Doubting Thomas. I call him Determined Thomas. Because he said to Jesus, how do we know the way? That's a good question. How do we know how to get to? You can ask people out there outside these doors how to get to heaven. You get a million different ways. Jesus answered his question very simply and very directly and right to the point. I am the way. There is no other name under heaven by which you must be saved, the name of Jesus Christ and him alone. You think God would send his son into this world to be brutally murdered so you can get in some other way? I don't think so. He showed his love for us by allowing his son to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. And again, look at the tremendous price he paid for you and me. The death of his son. Man. And so here we see that through Adam's sin, judgment came to all men. How much is all? Resulting in condemnation. We were one nation under God, but now we're condemnation. Because we've turned our back on God. People wonder why the world is so bad. When you remove God from the equation, what else can there be? We need to repent of our sins as a nation. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But we need to turn back to God. Because Jesus Christ is coming soon. The first time, the earth was destroyed by water. Noah's day. God's rainbow promised it would never be by water again, but I agree with Al Gore in one sense. Global warming is coming, but not the type that Al's talking about. We're talking fire and brimstone. Yeah. That's why we're still here. So we can be a light, and we can be salt, and we can be a witness to people out there. I've said many times, preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. These people need to be loved to life, not beaten to death. I was not beaten into the kingdom of God. I was loved into the kingdom of God when I found out how much he loved me and gave his life for me. And then he forgave me and washed me and cleansed me and gave me a new heart, new life, new home. And that's why we're still here. We're all ministers, small m. Through Jesus Christ and his righteousness, the free gift came, justification. We have that gift. And it's never going to run out while we're still here. You can give that gift out to a trillion people and never run out. But you know what? I think it's important just to think about one. Just give that gift to one person. One man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One man's obedience, many were made righteous. I know we don't feel that way when we look in the mirror at times. Who, me? Righteous? Sinless? Deepest part of the sea? You remembered it no more, Lord? But I'm getting these instant replays in my mind at times from the enemy. Oh, you remember this, you remember that. How sad. But that's when I fall back on God's word, and you need to as well. He remembers my sin no more. Through Jesus Christ's substitutionary death on the cross, he gives life to all who believe, not works. It's not eating fish on Friday. It's not ashes on your forehead. No, it's Jesus Christ in your heart. Period. I know I get a little upset at times when I talk about what some denominations are doing. They need to get a life in Jesus Christ and they need to read God's word or shut the doors. We went through this in Vermont. We went into a dead area in Vermont. You've heard our testimony, 12 years there. And there's a term in the Bible called Ichabod. The spirit has departed. And you could take that word Ichabod and put it on just about every door in the valley where we lived. The spirit had departed years ago. We got accused of being a cult. Because we were preaching the Bible. Ooh. And I looked like Eddie Albert with my Hawaiian shirt on. And Zsa Zsa Gabor, my wife, from California. You know. God had to bring some sinners from California to bring the good news to the East Coast, where it all started. That's where the Great Awakening happened. And now the Great Awakening's gone to sleep. I'll move on. I've still got 2 more hours. You guys are laughing. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Don't we sing an old hymn, grace, grace, God's grace? Grace, this is greater than all my sin. That's a lot of grace, folks, just mine. But the sins of the whole world. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in closing, we see that the law revealed sin. Praise God. As an offense to holy God. And again, one of the things that really bothers me is we take God's word, God's law, and we legalize sin in America now. That's so sad. The law didn't save from sin, but it brought conviction of sin. God's grace is greater than all of man's sin. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And in the last verse, verse 21, as sin reigned in death, grace now reigns through the righteousness of Jesus Christ to eternal life. As we close, 2 choices. Sin and death, or Jesus Christ in eternal life. Your choice. Eternal death and separation from holy God, or salvation, sanctification, justification, and glorification through Jesus Christ. It's up to you. As I mentioned, the title of the message, God's Free Gift. But you know what? The unique thing about a gift? It's not a gift until you receive it. I can have a box up here with just the most incredible gift that you could ever imagine in your whole life, but if you don't receive it, guess what? It's not a gift. I got news for you. I have before me the most incredible gift that anyone could ever receive here in God's Word, God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so as we close, as I usually do, and those watching on YouTube, have you received God's gift? Have you received God's Son? And if God has spoken to you this morning and you have not received that gift, there is no greater thing than to receive God's incredible gift, His Son, Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior. And so as we close, I'm going to open it up again. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And so if you would like to pray to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would like you to stand quickly as we close. Anyone, if you want to receive God's greatest gift. Okay. You guys need to go out and bring some sinners in. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. My heart is just lifted up, ready to burst. Because of salvation and sanctification and justification and glorification, all of those wonderful things and more that you have given to us personally through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that the next time we hear those words, that we would meditate upon them and truly grasp what they truly mean for us, what you have blessed us with. And I pray, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name and the power of the Holy Spirit, that our light would shine as we leave this place. That, Lord, people would see something different about us. And as I mentioned earlier, preach the gospel when necessary, use words. The greatest gift we have is love. And we need to love people like you loved us. Help us to be so overflowing with your love, Lord, that we'll splash all over everybody. And grace and mercy. And Lord, when the door is open, give us the words to share with those that need the hope that we have. Thank you, Lord, that you've taken the hopeless and given us hope. Thank you, Lord, that you've taken all of us sinners and saved us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.